Prodigy is a production of iHeartRadio.
Happy holidays, everyone. I decided to put together an episode that goes a bit lighter on the academia, a bit heavier on the alcohol, and gets into the real reason for the season. Presents.
Many Christmases ago, I went to buy a doll for my son. I reached for the last one they had, but so did another man. As I rained blows upon him, I realized there had to be another way. Out of that, a new holiday was born. A Festivus for the rest of us.
I'm joined by Dr. Mary Eberhardinger for an episode on gift giving. Mary and I had mutual friends in high school and went to the same university. She went on to get her PhD in rhetoric with a focus in philosophy of communication. Her thesis won the Distinguished Dissertation Award at Duquesne University, so she adapted it into a book. There's a link and 30% off promo code in the show notes. The book is dense with intellectual information, but we decided to keep this conversation more casual. So put on your stretchy pants, grab a glass of wine, and get ready for the airing of grievances.
Festivus begins with the airing of grievances. I got a lot of problems with you people. Now, you're gonna hear about it.
We're both from Charlotte, and I'm going back next week, but you are not.
Yeah, no, I mean, my family's going to Asheville anyway, but I was going to ask you, what is the real meaning for the season?
Connecting with yourself, with people, pets included. I grew up in Christian Catholic-oriented family from Baltimore. We moved to Charlotte in the 90s, and gifts were a big deal, were a big part of our traditions. And it's funny, I have a little brother, he's 2 years younger than me, I'm 35. He has a 15-year-old. You know, I watched her grow up, and she observed our traditions, Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, and the people are giving and wrapping and doing this exchange on Christmas morning. She would take knickknacks off the shelf, and she's five, and take newspaper and wrap them up. And she would give a knickknack to each of my family members on Christmas morning. It just literally knickknacks around our house. And she just wanted to participate in the way she could. It's what we observe as small children and the manner and the way of giving. And so it was a really sweet thing she used to do. Then we grow up though, right?
Then we grow up. That's actually what I was going to go into is like what your philosophy on gift giving is now, because you know when your family gets large, it's like, oh, I'm gonna go out and like buy like 40 gifts for people. And so we sort of took on the philosophy at some point, like, we'll just give to the kids. And you know, and I like that one because the kids are the ones who I feel like enjoy it the most anyway. So I think this year I might have to give people gifts of a donation to the Human Fund. It's just a much better cause.
A donation has been made in your name to the Human Fund. What is that?
Made it up.
The Human Fund, money for people.
So I have a step-grandmother, and sometimes we're all kind of there at the grandparents' house. And there is a silent, just non-spoken, I will say, competition over who can make grandma cry first with the enormity and wonder of the gift. Like, who has the best gift is going to make grandma cry first. And one year, one of my aunts who got her Pavarotti tickets,
Ooh. She
won game over. Well, that year was opera tickets, and just no one could compete with that.
Oh man, I'd be like, grandma, I love you so much, but I can't afford a gift. And so I made you this.
So the tears were a signal of validating the thoughtfulness and the greatness of the gift. And that happens. Like, if you can like evoke tears, then are you doing like the best job in the room? I don't know how you feel about that, or if you've ever witnessed someone cry over a gift.
Well, kids for sure. They're like, I said Ninjago. But I would ask, have you ever re-gifted?
Yes. Guilty. Guilty. And yes, I wrote a book on gift, but it doesn't mean I adhere to ethical standards of the re-gift.
Yeah, I was going to ask, isn't regifting the most efficient thing, really, you know? Because the person gets the pleasure from giving it to you, and then you get to give it to somebody else.
The pleasure, yeah. It's really, I mean, is it a funner thing to give or to receive? And hey, if you're not satisfied, I think you have the right to do what you please with it. And regifting is a modern option that a lot of us do. So
giving is way more pleasurable than receiving, right?
I would think so. At the same time, doesn't it feel good to also receive?
No.
That's a vulnerable position to receive. No?
No. Well, especially because, like, in my family, like, we got the whole we'll get kids things, and then people will buy me stuff and give me a gift, and I'm like, damn it, I thought we weren't doing that. And when you have a family member or whatever, and you, like, you buy them something, you know they really like, and you wrap it and stuff, you get to see them open it. I mean, to me, that's, like, just way more of a process than just, like, receiving a gift, you know?
It is.
Do you have a favorite gift or least favorite gift that you ever received, maybe as a kid or, you know, as an adult?
Yeah, absolutely. One year for my birthday, I received a half-dead houseplant. Or you can call it half-alive. It sits on your desk. And I don't know how long the plant was on her area before it was decided to be handed over to me. But I did my best with it. But it's okay. It's a thought. It's a gesture. And I was thought of. And that is what's important.
Maybe they just wanted to get rid of it.
Yeah, it was like sitting on their shelf.
Yeah, I can clean out a bunch of junk I need to get rid of just by wrapping it.
One of the best gifts I ever received was a Japanese chin female puppy, but it came in a close tie with a Japanese rice cooker.
Wait, a Japanese what puppy?
I have two Japanese chin dogs, one male, one female, and one year.
Where are they?
Downstairs. They want to be with me right now.
I'm looking it up.
This breed changed my life.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
That's a fancy looking dog.
They're not cheap. And it's like a piece of Japan because I lived there for a few years and I really wanted a part of Japan with me at all times. And this is a perfect companion breed. They're kind of like cats. So someone for my birthday gave me the dog.
That's a risky gift right there.
Risky?
Well, yeah, like giving someone a puppy, you know?
It's responsibility, right? It's a bit of a burden.
Yeah.
I know.
But that's awesome.
Well, yeah, some gifts can be burdensome, like the gift of a horse. You have to take care of it. There's going to be vet bills.
Yeah.
It's expensive. But it is given in the gesture of a gift. So that was one of the best things I've ever received. But again, it came in a close tie with a Japanese rice cooker, which it cooks perfect rice that tastes almost like pasta. And it goes well with any dish you have. I highly recommend Japanese technology rice cooker.
Editing this episode and this bit just made me laugh. The gift of her dog came in a close tie with a rice cooker. She seemed so passionate about this Japanese rice cooker that I looked them up and the reviews are phenomenal, but they're not cheap. Regular rice cookers are around $30 on Amazon, while the Japanese ones range from $200 to $500. Do you remember when the Japanese prime minister gave Putin the puppy and he was like holding it by like the scruff of the neck. And Putin's like, he's a notorious like dog person, which is weird because he totally seems like a sociopath to be able to do all the like Russian spy stuff that he does. But
I know.
What's the tradition in Japan for Christmas and like gifts and stuff?
A lot of my inspiration for writing the book and the dissertation, which is really the same thing, was living in Japan and noticing the gift-giving practices and traditions that they do. And it's very much used as a way to diffuse relationships, forge new friendships. It's just a huge nonverbal gesture. So they're considered a high-context culture, which means that they rely on non-words more than the literalness of words. So If you compare it to the US, we are considered a low context culture, which means that we rely on the kind of the verbosity, the literal verbal words or written words to understand a point. But with Japan, they are observing body language, the context, the environment, how people feel. Gift is one of these objects that communicates things that words can't communicate. So gifts are given in the beginning of business relationships. If you start a new job, you give a gift to your boss, to the second person in power, to maybe something very small, to like the whole staff. But the key is not leaving people out.
That sounds so stressful. Holy crap.
Yes, yes. Yes, there's pressure to have something to give to sometimes the whole staff room. So it's got to be small, usually edible, something from your hometown.
Okay.
Yeah. Even if you like on the weekend, if you're fortunate enough to go to the beach, maybe you go to Okinawa, which is like the Hawaii of Japan for a weekend. But then you come back to the workplace. People would often have a small like piece of candy or something sweet from the beach. And it's just kind of anonymously placed on each person's desk. And it's a sign, we'll say, of collectivism. And let's think of the group. And we were lucky, you know, someone was lucky enough to take a trip to the beach over the weekend. We better share just a small piece of what we experienced with everybody.
That's the number one place that I want to travel to, because I love sushi, I love ramen, and I mean, I'm sure the culture is amazing, it's beautiful, I'm sure, but I want to get the sushi that's fresh right out of the ocean, and all the ramen.
It's really good. So one of my dogs just entered.
Okay, that's fine. My dog's in here too. Do you guys have any like food traditions? I mean, like food seems to be such a big part of like the holiday tradition. Like, do you guys do? You're welcome to grab the dog and hold the dog up and bring it into the podcast.
Okay.
We will have to put a picture of this dog in the show notes.
Come here. Come here. Okay.
Oh.
This is Yuki.
Oh man, that is cute. Okay. That's pretty cute. Yeah.
He's here. He's going to be here.
He's got a little mug.
Yuki.
That's fine.
Y-U-K-I.
Oh, that is a cool name, actually.
It means snow.
Oh, okay, cool. That's a sweet name. It's fun to say, Yuki.
Thank you.
So yeah, the food the food thing, do you guys have any like food traditions? He's got a little mohawk. I'm sorry. Come back to the dog. I see a bunch of them with the little mohawk. Like, they got the white stripe on the top and then black on the sides.
Yeah.
That's weird. It's like part of their breed trait.
It's like a skunk. But like some people have criticized him and said that he looks like something called Predator. That kind of was a rude thing to say to me. It was an ex-boyfriend.
Predator.
It was an ex-boyfriend. He was jealous over this little one. He's like, your dog looks like Predator. I'm like, bye.
Yeah, right. Oh my goodness. That's the quickest way for me to end a relationship would be to insult my dog.
What if a girl came in your home and made fun of your dog?
Well, they always say like, oh, she has a lazy eye. And I'm like, it's not lazy. It's just tired.
Right. Right. Just shut up.
Well, I love dogs, but we'll put a picture of Yuki. And what's your other dog's name?
So her name's Suki. Okay, and
oh my goodness, you got the other one too. Oh, oh my goodness,
Yuki and Suki, they're lovers. This one was the gift.
Okay, yeah, she's a little chonky, just a little chonky, like in a good way. Yeah, so do you guys have any food traditions at Christmas?
These days, my mom goes to Costco, gets a ham, does it easy for herself,
it's efficient.
Yeah, efficient. Growing up with like, I will say Polish-German-esque tradition, you know, some sauerkraut, some Polish sausage. These days, it's just people are kind of getting tired and they just want to get it done. But nothing too crazy. I don't come from like a Ukrainian family or something.
Oh, we're Italian, so we do the dinner of the seven fishes, where there has to... In fact, my dad shared a Google Doc the other day to, like, count up the different fishes that we would have. The Feast of the Seven Fishes is an Italian-American tradition where on Christmas Eve you eat at least seven different types of seafood. There's an origin to it that I won't get into, but some of the most commonly used dishes are things like octopus salad, smelts, stuffed calamari, lobster, and salted cod.
That's amazing, Lowell.
Nowadays, you know, there's so many like little nieces and nephews running around trying to like poke me and stuff. And, you know, when I bring my dog, she doesn't like kids, so she keeps them away from me, which is nice. But
You can't bring your dog?
Well, no, I do, and the kids just can't come near me when she's around because she hates kids. I don't know what it is, but she's just like, no, okay. Once you get to a certain age, you're cool, but like below that age, no, not happening. She's special.
She's special. She has her preferences.
One thing I did want to ask about was, which I found really interesting, was like your thoughts on gifts as soft power. I had a landlord when I was younger who... I was like, I know it sounds weird, but I was going to do a website for him for like his building company or something. And we were having a dinner and he was talking about how he used gifts to get leverage over people. And I was like, left the meeting being like, wow, this guy is crazy. He seems like very, very narcissistic, like to be thinking it out like that. But I mean, like, you know, I'm tempted to do stuff like that. Like, oh, I wonder if like if I get my boss this gift, like it will. But then I'm also like, I could create this like weird sort of imbalance situation. And I was just curious, like, what you found with your research about it.
The person who has the giving hand is the hand in power. So Japan once gave Vladimir Putin the gift of a dog. It was an Akita dog, and he loved it. For the first time in a long time, the Japanese people saw Vladimir Putin smile, and they were pleased, and they thought that, okay, he's receiving our gift. There should be smooth kind of negotiation waters ahead. This is going to be good for us in the years to come. So like years later, Japan actually attempted again to give another gift to Putin, another dog. And this time around, Putin rejected the gift. He said no.
I'll take it.
I know. And like something about like Putin was afraid that the dogs would like reproduce.
Or like have like a listening device.
I know. He basically said no to the gift.
So you only got the one niece. So that means she probably gets a bunch of stuff, then, a bunch of the good stuff. What'd she ask for this year?
She doesn't ask specifically, but I bought her a massage gun, like something that automatically massages your body.
Oh, my dad likes that stuff too. Yeah.
Does he?
He's the worst gift receiver of all time, but we'll talk about that later.
Receiver, right? There's an art to the receiving. It's to handling and right, acknowledging and thanking. Yeah. So yeah. I'm curious what your dad does. Is your dad from Italy?
Not directly. You know, okay. Like he's a second generation.
Okay.
Well, if he ever asks for anything, which he rarely does, he'll be like, "Don't get me anything. Don't get me anything." He'll be like, "What do you want?" And then it's like always something like. Are like really expensive, and so people just get them like whatever, and then you could just tell, he doesn't really like it, and then you know of course he brings it back. So my dad's like the type of guy, he loves Costco, and he'll go and he'll buy something, and then you know like 9 times out of 10 he'll return it. And I like to joke that he just like rents stuff from Costco. They got like a picture of him up on there. He's like on the most wanted list.
He returns it. See, Costco is a sharp thing. Yes.
Yeah, he's like he likes to brag about how long after the return policy he can like return it. he's a nice guy.
No, but second generation's pretty close. You're keeping some of those, I don't know, tendencies. And
yeah. My mom and dad both speak Italian.
How about you?
No.
Okay.
I'm like Brad Pitt in Inglourious Bastards. Buongiorno.
Fair,
yeah, you got your tree up. Is that a real tree or a fake tree?
Absolutely fake. Do you have a tree?
Sorry, I don't have a tree, and you know, people might get mad at me. But I did light this Fraser fir candle in celebration.
Okay.
I don't know. I do like the tree and the lights and stuff. It just feels, you know, like warm and cozy and homey. But You know, I feel like a good maybe takeaway for this year is with all the stuff that's been going on and, you know, all the shipping delays and all that stuff, is like maybe just don't feel bad if you don't give someone a gift. Like, give them the gift of a compliment or something, or maybe, you know, maybe alcohol or something like that. Some cookies. But yeah, you know, it's nice to be able to like spend time with your family, you know, in a responsible way. We don't get to see them so much anymore.
But you're not going to Asheville, right, this year?
It's a story, man.
Is it complicated? We don't have to talk about it.
No, it's totally fine. It's just, so it probably makes me look bad. My sister has like a new baby. And so my parents, for the very first time ever, were like, oh, we'll pay for Ender to get my dog to get like pet sitting at here. And I was like, no, she's coming with me. Cause she's like my emotional support dog, right? And so I wanted her. And she's
absolutely.
Like, and she's like, oh, we'll pay for Ender to get pet sitting in Asheville. I'm like, no. She has to be with me at all times. And so they were worried about
that.
And so to sort of teach them a lesson to not do that ever again, I was like, well, you know what? Maybe I'll just stay at home. But also, I kind of want to stay at home, but I might go up Christmas Eve. Who knows? Yeah. It's not too far. It's just like 3 hours.
I get it. Yeah.
Who would be interested in your book? Because it does read quite academic. It's really intelligent. Who would be the type of people who'd be interested in it?
People who are interested in, public diplomacy, soft power, Japan, philosophy, communication. I mean, like, it's very philosophical. The book is all about giving something.
Thanks to Dr. Mary Eberhardinger. You can find a link to her book with a 30% off promo code and her socials in the show notes. But you got to move quick because the promo code will expire. Next episode is on the Dark Forest, an unidentified aerial phenomena. I've been working on this one for a long time, and I'm really excited that it's about to come out. Anyway, I gotta go prepare for the feats of strength. Have a wonderful holiday.
And now, as Festivus rolls on, we come to the feats of strength. Will you pin me, George? Festivus is not over.
Someone stop this.
Let's rumble!
Very special thanks to Gianna for voicing the intro. Even though Ender is still suspicious of her, she's the only person I actually got a gift for this Christmas. Prodigy is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
We went from normal life, healthy child to acute lymphoblastic leukemia or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.